Hey guys, this is Bonnie C of the Creativepreneur Podcast. Through this podcast, I aim to bring you interviews from some of the most inspiring small-scale entrepreneurs in the creative industry, talking all things photography, fashion, tech, and business. So if you want to gain insight, become inspired, and learn valuable tools to create your dream life, as well as bring your side hustles to life, then this is the podcast for you. So in today's episode, as it is my first episode ever of this podcast, I would like to tell you my story of my career. I thought it was a good place to start. In case you don't know me, I can kind of introduce myself and go over, I guess, my story to get from where I started to where I am today. So I am just winging this. I haven't scripted anything out, so we shall see how it goes. Hopefully I don't get too sort of nervous and mess it up. But yeah, in case you don't already know me, my name is Bonnie C. I am a fashion and swimwear photographer. I am from Australia and I have been shooting for pretty much exactly 10 years now. So my story as a photographer starts all the way back in 2009, the beginning of that year. And yeah, I just thought I would walk you through from the very beginning, from when I didn't even know what I wanted to do, through my whole career in a nutshell, to where I am now. So if we want to go all the way back to 2008, I was, before I started photography, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was working in retail. I worked at a phone store called Three. If any of you remember that, I believe now it has merged into Vodafone, but anyway, that's not the point of this story. And so I'd always been a creative person, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do specifically. So before I found photography, I had dabbled in, so basically I should tell you, at uni I did multimedia design. I knew I, wanted to do something creative, but hadn't found the exact thing. Originally, I wanted to go into film production, so working on movies. And for uni, I did apply to a couple of film schools, but back then it was a super popular degree. It's just when it got really popular and they required basically an OP1 or 2. So for anyone who's not in Queensland, that's just basically really high, like UAI for New South Wales. So you basically needed to get 90 and above to be able to apply. And it's a bit silly because these courses weren't merit-based. They were going off those, you know, point systems. So being a creative in school, I, you know, wasn't the best academically, so I didn't get anywhere near. I think I got an OP13, which equals to like a 70 UAI or something like that. So I applied for those film schools but didn't get in. I did get into, I think, my third choice or fourth choice, which was multimedia design at the University of Queensland. So I went to do that because it was the closest to where I wanted to go. In that degree, I personally, I wish I had have known what I wanted to do and didn't go to uni at all, because, yeah, I don't think in that 3 years of studying that I learned anything from uni that I didn't teach myself, or couldn't have taught myself. So to me, in retrospect, it was a bit of a waste, but I mean, I had a good time. I was doing something creative and, you know, uni's fun, so there's that. So in uni, basically we just did a mix of courses. There was random ones like animation, graphic design, I don't know, other ones like that. But basically you didn't specialise in anything. It was like an arts degree for multimedia. So yeah, it didn't really take me where I wanted to go. So at the end of that degree, I was left, you know, nowhere closer to my career goals than when I started. So I had always been pretty into editing and stuff like that in Photoshop. I remember even when I was a kid, just playing in Photoshop, creating weird images, just working it out. So I had a real enjoyment for retouching, and not necessarily retouching, but, you know, like photo manipulation. Like I was on, what is it, DeviantArt, like way back when I was younger, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I was always into that, just hadn't found photography at that time. After uni as well, I studied to be a florist. and got a certificate in floristry, but couldn't find a job in that because I was too old to be like an apprentice and too unexperienced to go into being a florist working. So that kind of career died pretty much before I could even start, which was a shame because I really loved working with flowers and stuff like that. Because, yeah, being a creative, I think I just sort of gravitated towards beautiful things, which ended up being taking beautiful photos. But, yeah, at the time I didn't know that. So I was just in uni working retail, and most of you won't know this, but I actually joined a cheerleading squad in university and became a competitive cheerleader through there, and also joined like a team which wasn't at the university, so it's more of not by any means a professional team, but a team that competes in competitions just for the sake of it. So I had been cheerleading for maybe 1 to 2 years at this point, and I think I was 22, I think. Yeah, and we actually were going over to America to compete in the cheerleading competition. So I planned my first overseas trip, and I was going with my best friend at the time, Mon, who was also on the cheerleading team, and we were going to travel around America and Europe after the competition. So basically we did that, and we went overseas, and sorry, I swear this story has a point. And we were having, you know, we had a great time. After our competition, we ended up in New York, and we were staying with Mon's ex-boyfriend, and he had a camera. So he had gotten into photography. And so I think I just randomly, I think he brought it out one night to dinner or something. It was a Canon 50D. And I just was like, hey, can I have a go of it? Can I have a play? And I did. And as soon as I had a go, I just fell in love with it. I just thought it was the coolest thing. And I'm like, you know, for someone who hasn't had a digital SLR, and then they get one and they take it and they see, you know, the blurry background photos and stuff like that, and just what you can do with a professional camera, I think they think it's, you know, super cool. Or, well, I did at least. And yeah, basically from there I started to get obsessed with it. And so I think for the rest of our trip, I kind of started really, I don't know, it was a really kind of soul-searching trip. I don't know. A lot of it, we were really poor for it because it was just as the global financial crisis hit. And so everything was super expensive. Like the US dollar was, I think, 60 Australian cents. And we went over to Europe afterwards, and pounds were at like half a pound for a dollar, and euros were like 40 cent euros, whatever that means, to a dollar or something. So we, yeah, had no money left, basically we spent it all. And so we just spent a lot of time, you know, sightseeing and looking at all the things that were free. And I just remember going, oh my God, I wish I had one of those amazing cameras to capture all this stuff and take amazing photos, because I was just had my little, you know, compact camera. And I was still using that, but I was just obsessed with the thought of, oh, I wish I had this digital SLR to capture amazing photos of this. And yeah, so I just began to get obsessed with the idea of it. And then so as well, I spent a lot of time, because I couldn't spend money and buy clothes, in bookstores and stuff like that, because at least if you're going to buy a book, the maximum you're going to spend is $20 to $30, whereas if you're out shopping and you see clothes, you can spend hundreds and stuff like that. So I would literally, you know, go into bookstores and would just spend hours in there almost, and I would just look through all of the photography books, you know, which were teaching you, you know, photography. There was a lot, there probably still are a lot of books on that now, but there were a lot back then. You know, this was before a lot of the internet, you know, YouTube and stuff had become popular, and there were lots of tutorials on there. So really books was a place to go, and I got a lot of photography magazines. So I remember looking through all these magazines, and they would be explaining the ISO and the aperture and the shutter speed. And so basically just that 2 months I was over there, I just ingested all the information I could find on photography through these bookstores and magazines, and just, yeah, was mesmerized by the idea. So fast forward to when we got home, I said to my mum, hey, I really want to do photography. Can you help me buy my first camera? And she is amazing. So she did that. So I got the same Canon 50D that I had tried out in New York, and I was super excited. So basically, as soon as I got the camera, I started teaching myself. I am self-taught. So I started by reading the manual twice. So I got my head around how the camera worked, how all the settings worked, and I got really familiar with that. And then after reading the manual twice, I started taking photos. So I would shoot anything. I would go out into the garden and shoot, you know, raindrops on leaves and my dogs and, you know, self-portraits and stuff like that. And yeah, so I just loved it. And I'm like, yep, this is what I want to do. I think from there I lay-by'd a bunch of gear. I started with the Nifty 50, so the 50mm 1.8. That was the first lens I bought because it's only $150. And then the next one, I think I lay-by'd the Canon 70-200 f2.8 lens, which I still use to this day. It's an amazing portrait lens. And I believe Harvey Norman had it on sale for like $1,600. And I lay-by'd it and paid it off at $200 a week until it was paid off. And then after that, I lay-by'd some studio equipment at Dragon Image, which is a photography store. I think it's still running in Brisbane. And I paid that off as well. And then as soon as I had got those, I started reaching out to models on, I think, what was it? Not DeviantArt, Model Mayhem. Oh my God, Model Mayhem, if any of you guys know that. So I got a few amateur models from there and started shooting that. And basically from there, yeah, I just shot whoever I could, whoever I knew. I shot one girl who was on our cheerleading team. She did a bit of modeling on the side as well. So I asked to shoot her and we did that. It was really cool. And I shot a lot of cheerleading as well. I was the girl with the camera at comps and stuff and shot a lot of kind of promo stuff for our team, which was cool. And then, yeah, so I just started building my portfolio from there. I actually shot one of the early shoots for Beginning Boutique, which is still a huge boutique running these days. Sarah, who's the owner of that, is actually a good friend of one of my best friends. And so, and they were just starting at that time too. So I shot some what now looks like horrific product shots for them. But at the time, I was pretty impressed in my little lounge room with my backdrop set up. And so I shot some of their very early e-commerce images when they were just starting. So that's pretty cool. So basically when I got back from this trip, I got straight into a job of photography. I knew I didn't want to go back to working retail or anything like that. So the first job I got was selling portraits in a portrait photography studio. So I actually went and sold the packages, like talked to the people who had their shoot. And they came in and I had to sell them. But I didn't mind because it was in the photography, you know, arena and I loved it. And even though I hate selling and I'm not good at selling, you know, it was a step towards where I wanted to go. And I worked for them for a little while and did a little bit of editing with them occasionally as well. And after that, my next job was in a online boutique. Can't for the life of me remember what it was called, but basically it was me shooting their clothing on a mannequin in their studio. And yeah, so I got the job with them off my portfolio that I had built from just shooting friends and stuff like that. And I remember walking in, I printed out this little booklet and it's so dodgy. I think I still have it somewhere. But yeah, so I printed out this little paper, just like on a printer at home, paper kind of portfolio that I used in my interview. And yeah, I got the job. So I think I worked there for about 2 months shooting their products in a studio, which was really cool for me at the time because they had this huge white cyclorama studio that they'd built in the bottom of their warehouse. And I basically got to play in there all day. And then I deep etched the photos out as well and then got them all prepared for their website. And that was cool. But that job only lasted 2 months, I think, because they went bankrupt. So I was out of a job pretty quick with them. After that, I got a job doing real estate photography. So not photography, sorry, I edited a real estate photographer's photos. So he would go out and shoot the houses, and then I would, I can't remember what program it was, probably Lightroom, was editing his photos. So I did that for a little bit afterwards. Editing real estate photos. It wasn't obviously my passion, but it was in photography. It was related, so I didn't mind. And I think I got paid well there. I got like $23 an hour or something, which at the time was huge coming from retail. And I'm like, yay, this is my, you know, biggest dollar per hour job so far. So that was exciting. After that real estate, I was looking for obviously photography jobs elsewhere in other fields, and I was still shooting on the side and building my portfolio. I think I was probably shooting portraits or something. I think I just shot whoever I could get my hands on at this point. It was still early days. So after this job, I managed to land a job in a wedding photography studio as a receptionist. So it took me a while until I was actually shooting for my job. So wedding photography studio called Chris Hall Photography. They're Brisbane based. I'm not sure if they're still around. They could be, they might not be, but it was a portrait and wedding studio and I was the receptionist there. But then they knew I was learning photography and wanted to do it. So they actually allowed me to come along, and I was a third shooter. So basically I was just taking photos just to practice. The first week I was there, I went to a wedding on the Saturday with them as a third shooter, and it was at Palazzo Versace, and I shot my first wedding, which was exciting. I loved it. It was amazing. And then I worked there for over a year or something like that, and I did end up second shooting a lot of weddings with them and then still being the receptionist, and I also edited a lot of weddings with them as well. So yeah, I got experience in weddings and I did enjoy them, but I really had in my mind after doing a lot of those that weddings is not where I wanted to be and that I wanted to get more into fashion. So the job that I got after that was with an amazing, amazing brand in Brisbane called Black Milk Clothing. Now, this is a brand that was super popular maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. They were really one of those underground viral internet brands, and they had huge sort of pull on social media. I found them first because I like to buy clothes of them, and then I went in one day to buy something, and I was on pretty good speaking terms with the owners, and they had a job going. And then I'm like, oh, amazing, I shoot photography, blah, blah, blah. They were looking for a photographer. And then they called me back, and I think the owner's wife was like, hey, can you come in and we'll interview you and chat about this. So I think I went back either that day or the next day. And basically I'm pretty sure they gave me the job on the spot. And it was in both being the photographer, but because they didn't shoot very often at that point, it was also in customer service. So I did customer service as well as occasionally it would be shooting their products. And so Black Milk, I would say, is the brand that gave me my hugest, growth in my career. So I worked for them in the end for, I think, 4 years, and I grew to be their obviously lead in-house photographer. We shot a lot of amazing campaigns with them, and I really grew the most as a photographer in that time, from amateur to professional, I would say, in those years being with them. Because yeah, when we were starting out, like, I kind of grew with the company. So when we started out, we were using, you know, smaller time models in a, you know, paper backdrop setup in their office, to hiring out full Cyclorama studios and shooting Steph Glassmith. So, you know, we really expanded and grew from amateur to professional together while I was there shooting for that brand. And yeah, that was amazing. I really got a lot of experience with working with professional models and getting confidence with working with professional models, as well as shooting in the studio, and then also honing my skills out in natural light, because we did shoot a lot of content on professional models and also just the girls who worked there out on the street. We shot a lot of street style and stuff, so I really got a lot of practice in on lighting and learning natural light, and as well as studio photography too, and creative retouching and stuff like that. So the work I shot there, I don't do any of that same sort of stuff anymore. There was some really cool creative work for some of our collections for, you know, Disney. We did a Disney collection and shot a whole series of studio images based around the Disney princesses. And we did the same for like Superman and like Poison Ivy and like all those character kind of you know what I mean, character style images. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm getting a bit delirious already. I've only been talking for 20 minutes. But yeah, so I grew the most as a photographer in those early days from working with them and got amazing experience. And they also were probably the start of my growth on social media, because they were such a huge social media brand. Myself and there were a couple of other girls in the business who worked there who were very face forward in the brand, and we, because the brand had such a viral following, the fans of the brand really saw us and not idolized, that's not the right word, but we were like mini celebrities in that field. So when we joined Instagram, I think my first like 5,000 followers came from working for Black Milk and being the photographer. Like, there were a lot of people who knew about me because obviously I was shooting the campaigns and stuff like that. So yeah, there was a few of us who got the first couple thousand followers through working for them, which in the early days, yeah, it was awesome, because I didn't even care about Instagram in the beginning. It was just, I was like everyone else, just posting a picture of my dog and the beach with those horrible filters that used to be on there. But in the end, once I discovered, you know, it could actually be a cool place, I started posting, you know, stuff about working for Black Milk and my photography for them. And yeah, it grew from there. And yeah, I had a lot of cool opportunities with them. I got to travel a bit. We went to LA and shot in LA with some models over there, and they had huge events on, and I shot those events and stuff. So it was a really awesome kickstart. And yeah, I love my history of working for there. It was a great experience until the end, when it turned a little sour, but I won't get into that. But yeah, that can happen. But yeah, so the end of my journey at Black Milk ended up in being made redundant. So most of our creative team was made redundant, because, you know, it can be very expensive, I guess, but, they just decided to prioritize their money elsewhere instead of having the whole creative team in-house. So yeah, I was made redundant, and at the time it was shit scary, and I probably wouldn't have left and become freelance if it wasn't for that. I would have eventually, but I was like, oh, maybe just another year. Because yeah, I wasn't really making huge money on the side from my own photography. I think every now and then I would do a shoot for someone, or a portrait shoot or a model portfolio, and I would, you know, make, I don't know, maybe $150 or $250 or something. But yeah, I remember in my last year of working with Black Milk, I had decided that if I wanted to become a freelance photographer and work for myself afterwards, which is something I always had a goal from, even before photography, as a kid, I was like, I want to work for myself. I don't want to work for anyone else. I want to be my own boss. And so I always knew that's what I wanted to do. So in that last year, I'm like, okay, Bonnie, you better get your act together if you want to be able to freelance after this. So I started reaching out to agents and agency models and did as many test shoots as I could do. So it was all kind of in fashion and studio at that point. I wasn't really focusing on swimwear. So yeah, I would do a test every weekend or fortnight. So I was building my skills and building up a portfolio all that time. And then when we were made redundant, I was shitting myself. I'm like, I don't know if I have enough clients. You know, I had I got one amazing client who I'm still friends with today. Her name is Parissa, and she was the first person to book me for her fashion boutique. So she was the first like fashion boutique I ever shot, a little boutique called Teal and Tala. And it was, yeah, just probably, I don't know, within that year before I left Black Milk. And we just had the best time and the best shoot. And I still love those images, actually. And we shot with Michaela Wayne, who is a model from from Brizzy or the Gold Coast, and I'm still friends with her as well. She's awesome and a fun time. And yeah, so she was the first one to book me, and I think I did the first shoot a half day for $150, maybe $200, something like that. Super cheap, but we had, yeah, a great time. So when I was getting made redundant from Black Milk, I was shooting for her, I think once a week for maybe 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon. We would do product shots, but it was $90 an hour. So, you know, I'd be getting, what, $200-something or something. So that's not enough to live on by any means. So I was freaking out a little bit. But I'm like, you know what? Whatever, I still live at home. Mum will, you know, not charge me board while I don't have a job and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll make it work. And so we got made redundant. And then I think literally the next week, I don't know how it happened, but I got an inquiry from a fashion boutique to shoot for them. And it was actually Asako from Mira Boutique, who is still a client to this day, and I absolutely love working with them. So I've worked on and off with them. I don't do all the time, but yeah, we keep coming back to each other. So she was the very first boutique to approach me and say, hey, we're looking for a regular photographer to shoot our products weekly. And she's like, we met at a coffee shop in Camp Hill. And she's like, we would love for you to shoot for us. Let us know your budget. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I went away and I'm like, shit, I don't know what to charge at all. And then I'm like to her, oh, what's your budget, you know? And she's like, oh, we've been using this other guy and he charges $200 an hour. And at the time, I was going to charge her like way less than that. I've never told her this. But I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, $200 an hour. That's great for me too. I can match that. That's simple. And so I said that. And then, yeah, from there, I started shooting with them for a while. I shot with them, I don't know, probably months, weekly at $200 an hour. And I think basically the next week, another boutique saw that I was, you know, I guess on the market and shooting for Mira. So they contacted me and asked me to shoot for them. So within, I think, 2 weeks, somehow I had gotten two clients. And if you're doing 2 days at $200 an hour, that's, you know, enough to get by and more than enough. So, yeah, that was the start into my freelance work as a photographer. And it just basically snowballed from there. I mean, I didn't always shoot every week, but that's the way, you know, when you're a freelancer, you take it when it comes. And so I had busy periods and slow periods, but basically, yeah, within 2 weeks of becoming redundant from Black Milk, I was a full-time freelance fashion photographer, and it was amazing. And so somehow after that, I got into swimwear. I think it might have been because shooting for these boutiques, I think one of them I shot swimwear for, one of their summer lookbooks. And so that probably was what made me excited to shoot more swimwear and started my love for it, because I was still in Brisbane. So I had to travel all the way down to the Gold Coast to go to the beaches to shoot. But yeah, once I had shot my first swim campaign, I absolutely loved it, and I started doing all my test shoots with swimwear. Also, another reason why I got into it was because stylists for fashion test shoots are very hard to come by, especially in Brisbane or really any city. It's hard to get a stylist. So with shooting swimwear, I didn't need a stylist, we could do it all our own and it was super easy. All we needed was a bikini and some canola oil or coconut oil. So yeah, after that I started all my tests, basically started in swimwear, and I started creating my presets that really, you know, worked with the colors of the ocean and, you know, creating that bronzy skin tone, and I just started loving it. And so from then on, I got, as well as doing my e-com, got booked a lot of swimwear. Where am I at? I don't know what year would be up to by now, but I think soon after that, I stayed in Brisbane shooting for all those clients for another couple years, and then I decided to make the jump to Sydney. As everyone does in their career, they're like, hey, the next step is Sydney. There's a bigger industry. You can get bigger campaigns and all that stuff that Sydney, you know, promises and may or may not deliver. But, you know, the call was there. So after a while, yeah, of freelancing, I think I was freelancing for 1 to 2 years in Brisbane, I moved to Sydney. And then, yeah, everything sort of continued on. It was great. I kept a lot of my clients up in Brisbane and started traveling a lot more as they flew me up. I really focused on my swimwear when I got to Sydney because the beaches are so much closer and there's such a variety. And I started getting booked for a lot of swimwear campaigns. I did a lot of swimwear tests and I really loved that. I shot with a lot of – so this was in the, like, prime of Instagram where, you know, I used to grow 1,000 followers a day. Obviously, that doesn't happen anymore and I just lose followers like most people on the gram who aren't posting constantly and really nurturing their engagement. But, yeah, this was back in the golden days. So when I moved to Sydney, I met Renee Summerfield, who was the biggest influencer that I started working with. So she had over 1 million followers when I started shooting with her. And when she would tag me, I would, you know, gain thousands of followers. You know, I would basically be able to reach out to any influencer and they would see my work. And at that point, I have no idea how many followers I would have had, but I don't know, maybe say 10,000 or something like that. But back in that day, that was still pretty good. And for a photographer, that was good. So yeah, pretty much every influencer slash model I reached out to said, yes, I'd love to shoot. And so I grew a lot on social media by shooting big influencer models. I say influencer and model because they all were professional working models. I wasn't just shooting influencers to, you know, get followers or anything like that. I've always been a big believer in quality over quantity. So all of the models that I choose to shoot with, I'm really quite picky and I like to have, you know, someone who I totally admire and think is beautiful and, you know, is a working model usually and stuff like that. So it sounds a bit terrible saying it out loud, but I just had a high level that I wanted to shoot at and achieve, and so I was really picky with my models, but luckily all of them pretty much said yes. And so I shot with a lot of bigger name influence models, and that's where my followers would grow. Oh, I'm getting confused now. But yeah, so a couple years was the golden years. Instagram was growing. I did a lot of travel. I went over to the States and shot a lot of big time model influencers over there, which was amazing. I did a couple of trips. I think I was on some of the first influencer trips when they were becoming a thing. I got really lucky. I've been able to shoot and fly and shoot in the Maldives 4 times, which is crazy. I never, ever, 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 ever would have thought I would have gone to the Maldives 4 times or even ever. And if it hadn't been for my career as a photographer in this day and age, I never would have. So it's so amazing. And still, I just think back at it and it's just so awesome. So yeah, I did a lot of trips there. A couple times I got taken over by an influencer. So I went to Thailand with an influencer and shot content for her. One of the Maldives trips was with an influencer and shot content for her. So this was kind of before everyone did it themselves or had their boyfriends. So, you know, for them, knowing a professional photographer who could take awesome shots and was willing to go on these trips, you know, was a gold mine. So yeah, I got a lot of awesome opportunities through that, which was great. And then yeah, so I traveled. Yeah, I'm getting confused. Where am I up to? Sydney, coming back here, shooting for boutiques. Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty consistent and great run. I feel very lucky that that's happened. So I might just skip forward to, so I did get an agency for a while. I was with them. Personally, I mean, it was an agency that I wanted to be represented with, represented by, sorry. And it was one of my biggest goals because it just had such prestige behind it to be represented by an agency. And, you know, it would make you think that you were going to get these awesome campaigns with big brands because they were the ones who had connections. Like, for example, you think if Maya's going to book a photographer, they're not just going to go to them personally, they're going to go through an agency because that's just how the bigger brands did it. So I got represented by this agency and it was a dream come true. And it took a while. I think I emailed them like twice, like in a year before they even responded. And then I can't remember what it was that switched. I think I went on a big trip to America or something and shot some big girls or big campaigns. And then they're suddenly like, hey, I want you to come in and have a chat with us. And I'm like, you know what? All right. Well, took you a while to get here, but you did. So yeah, so I was represented with them for a while. It was great in the beginning. I did a big campaign through them. I shot for Kukai, one of their swimwear campaigns, and that was a huge achievement. I thought that was just so cool and it was one of my biggest clients. So yeah, so the beginning of being represented by them was great, but eventually as time went by, I found that I was actually losing a lot of work because the agency, I don't know if they are like greedy or what, I don't know. But basically they would be outpricing me from any of my e-commerce boutique clients because they were just asking more than what the going rate was, you know. Like e-com has a standard and there is, it's a very, you know, good level of standard, but it's lower than what you would pay for a campaign shoot, which was, you know, much more in depth. So they were asking for huge campaign day rates for an e-commerce shoot, which these brands just weren't going to pay for. So by the end of my time with them, and I want to mention that I was not allowed to seek my own work and book my own work when I was with them. So I was basically at the mercy of my agents. So in the end, before I decided to leave them, I had gotten to a point where I only had one shoot in 5 weeks, I think. And I was just like basically waiting for an email to see when my next shoot was. Like I couldn't hustle to get my own work. I couldn't book my own work on the side. It had to go through them. And I would send them clients and emails and then nothing would happen. And then I think I asked one and inquired on my own email. I'm like, hey, you know, just checking in. How it went, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, yeah, they quoted me this ridiculous amount. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's awesome if you would have paid thousands and thousands and thousands, but I would have done it for, you know, this amount because I really wanted to work with you. So in the end, I found like I just didn't have the control I wanted myself. So I decided when I fell pregnant to leave the agency because I just needed to take control back of my own career and I just needed to be able to keep on top of it and charge what I wanted to charge and yeah, just have the control back. And actually it's one of the best decisions I ever made because once I left them, within 2 weeks again, I think I was back to shooting 3 to 5 times a week. I got most of my e-commerce clients back and a bunch of campaigns. And yeah, so it just goes to show that having an agency might not be the best decision for you. I think it is great for some photographers, and some photographers need it because they're just so busy and they don't want the e-commerce work and stuff like that. But I have seen a lot of people leave their agents since. And I think just in this day and age, just being on social media and being present is pretty much all you need to be discovered by any brand. So, yeah, that takes me to when I fell pregnant. So I got back into shooting there, and I think then I started to work on my newest project, which was Color Tone app. So basically, the story of that, I had been selling presets. So before presets became a huge, huge craze, there was only a couple of people doing it. And I obviously have developed a lot of presets in my time, which I use for my photography and give me kind of like this signature look. And on one of my big campaigns over in the Maldives, I developed a couple of these presets, which were really that awesome island, you know, summer tones, which are now also popular. And so I released my presets as professional presets through Lightroom. This was before you could sync them to your phone. So there was no way to have them on your mobile. The Lightroom mobile app didn't allow presets at the time, so you had to do them through your computer, which is good for professional photographers, but for everyday people, they just didn't want to, you know, have to download a program and use it on their computer. They wanted it on their phone. So I just had this dream of, you know, I'm like, no one at that point had released their own app. I mean, there was the big ones like, of course, Visco and Light, Afterlight, and I don't know what else, but, you know, the huge apps which are doing filters, but no just everyday influencers who had managed to make an app. And I had a dream of it. I'm like, oh my God, it would be so amazing to offer this on, you know, on your iPhone, because I just said all my customers from my presets desperately wanting it on their phone. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you just can't do it. So yeah, I set out to develop my app, and I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna look into it. I'm like, I'm worried it's, you know, probably gonna cost $100,000 or $30,000, and it's just gonna be too unachievable. Like, I didn't even know where to start. And so I was on a shoot in Brisbane, and I was talking to an assistant about it, and he's like, yeah, that would be so amazing. He's like, I'll keep an eye out for anything and I will let you know, because it, you know, would be really awesome to develop. And then a week or so later, he told me about this app, which is similar to what I wanted to do, and he's like, maybe you can look into this app. And through that app, I actually found the developer I now work with. And I just sent him an email, and I'm like, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to offer my filters in their own app. Any chance you can help me? And he wrote back within 24 hours saying, yes, I can help you. And I am a freelance developer, and I will build this app for you, and I won't charge you until it's done. And if you don't like it at the end, then you don't have to pay for it. And I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, okay, sweet. This sounds like no risk. And so we started building Color Tone app. And I always like to say this, Color Tone app from beginning concept to the first final version took 6 weeks and 111 emails. And so I hadn't even spoken to my developer on the phone or anything. We did everything via email, and he was just amazing. And it was at a price that I could afford, and it was just awesome. Everything just came together as it should. So this is all, yeah, while I was pregnant as well. I think actually, no, it was before I was pregnant. I was working on this. Yes, sorry, timeline ruined. But yeah, so it was before it launched in May 2018, I believe, yes. And so Color Tone app was my huge focus on the side, as well as all my shoots, and I worked on that. And yeah, the first version went live in 6 weeks, and then since then we have been building on it and updating it and adding in a few bits and bobs and new collections. And basically the launch just blew me away. I don't know how it went so successful. I think it was because it was just the first app to allow it on your iPhone. Like, still at this point, Lightroom had not allowed you to sync presets. So mine was the first app released by an influencer / photographer that had the tones that all the influencers were doing, and photographers were doing those really like summery tones, available on an iPhone app, because even Visco didn't have that. Their filters were very different. They weren't that really influencery style. So yeah, we launched to great success. I don't have the stats here, but I think it ended up, you know, on average having 1,000 downloads a day and making some really nice money as well. Obviously, it fluctuated and it started off a lot lower, but I think in the first month it made like $4,000 or something, which I was just like, what? Like, I just didn't kind of, I didn't have any idea of how it would go and for it to go that well. And then now to have consistently gone that well and better and grown into what it is today. Just the other day we hit 1 million downloads, which is just crazy. I can't believe it. So 1 million downloads from the App Store. People have downloaded that. I think there's like, I can't remember the stats, but there's like 30,000 daily users and 200,000 monthly users or something like that. Like, there's a lot of people who use this app, and I'm just so beyond grateful for its success and just how it went, because sometimes I feel like I fluked it. Like, you know, there's that imposter syndrome where you just don't think you deserve what you've created and achieved. I've definitely felt that, but you know what? I'm going in with a positive attitude and I'm like, hey, I'm not going to ruin a good thing that's going on. And I've just been, you know, manifesting success and nurturing it as best I can and trying not to, you know, ignore it. Like when I get, you know, uninspired or anything, I'm trying to make sure I keep nurturing it and, you know, stuff like that, so it doesn't just disappear, because it would be such a shame if it eventually ended up being, you know, no one using it anymore. But so far it has continually sort of stayed on level or grown, and it has been pretty much, I think, one of my greatest achievements as a photographer and businesswoman is that app. And I'm just so beyond proud of it. And I know a bunch of people I know use it and love it. And it just makes me really happy. And I know now some more influencers have started developing their own apps and bringing them out. And that's okay. There is enough room for everyone. So even though sometimes it freaks me out a little bit, you know, Colortone has still been amazing and held strong. And yeah, I am so appreciative of it, because now if we skip forward to this last year when I've had a baby and she's now 10 months old, if it wasn't for Colortone app, I wouldn't have survived. I would have eaten through my savings a long time ago and not coped, and I don't know, had to go back to an everyday job or go back to shooting like before I was ready. Because obviously, you know, having a baby, you have to spend a lot of time like in the baby bubble, and I wasn't ready to go back to working for a long time. I wasn't able to. I felt very sort of locked into, you know, being a mom and stuff like that, and there's just no way I could have been shooting. So this app has really been my saving grace in supporting me and allowing me to be a mum and enjoy this time with my little bubba. And now 10 months on, it has been a very quiet 10 months for my photography. I only really got back into shooting sort of 5 months ago, and it's still very rare. I've only really been doing test shoots and then a couple of client shoots who have rebooked me, but yeah, I closed off for a very long time and wasn't doing anything. And it's only now that I'm starting to find balance as my bub is a little bit older and more independent. You know, she will happily sort of hang out with dad or my mom and stuff like that. So yeah, only now am I getting the chance to kind of find balance and go back to shooting a little bit more. Still not often, but, you know, a couple times a month and stuff like that. So yeah, my career has taken a real standstill this last year. But I am keen now to get back into everything and start finding balance. I have some good goals for this year, and finding balance between being a mum and being a photographer and businesswoman is right up there. So I'm hoping I can get a few more regular shoots in, and then focus on my digital, you know, projects I have going on, like Colourton app. Oh, another thing I did, which I don't know how I completely blanked on that. I ran a photography workshop in September last year, which was also a massive achievement in my career so far. I kind of, once I started getting back into things, and I did a couple of shoots around 5 months after having Bub, and I was just so excited and so inspired to be back shooting. It was just the greatest thing. And I'm like, you know what? I can do this workshop. I'm like, I'd been planning it for a year probably, and I didn't want to do it when I was pregnant because being pregnant, I don't know, it was just hard. And so I'm like, you know what? If I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. And so I just set the date and organized it all within 4 to 6 weeks or something like that. And I did a kind of a soft launch. I just posted about it on my Insta story and did an email out to anyone who'd signed up to me in the past. And I think I managed selling 11 tickets in the first like 2 days, which was amazing. And yeah, I was completely blown away by. And I was very appreciative of, because that covered most of the initial costs. So I'm like, okay, at least now I can run it. Because I was like, hey, if no one comes, I can still cancel it all. You know, I haven't paid for too much yet. But yeah, I really wanted to put on an amazing workshop. I've been to a few in the past where I've been really underwhelmed because of the models or the locations or just the, you know, teaching in general. So I'm like, you know what? I can do this. I can put on a great workshop and put it at an amazing location, have amazing models, and really make it an opportunity that photographers would like to come along to and get involved in and learn from me and shoot with amazing models at an awesome location. And so that was my main goal with it. And I think I did that. And from what I've heard from everyone, they had an awesome time. And so, yeah, what I decided to do as well is film that. And I'm going to release it digitally as a digital workshop. So that's another project I'm working on, which I'm excited to launch pretty soon, actually. It's been very slow going, organizing it. Editing it and like putting it all together, just because obviously I have a baby and I can only work in her naps most days. So it's almost been 6 months, I think, since the workshop, and I'm finally pretty close to having the digital version ready to go. So I'm super excited about that as well. Hopefully I'll be able to, yeah, have a lot of people all over the world who've asked me to do workshops in their cities, but I couldn't do that. They'll have the chance to watch this workshop and learn from me that way until I can get overseas. But I think this is a really good middle ground with sharing the workshops for anyone who wants to see them. So that is what I'm working on now, and we come to present day where, yeah, my career is not just photography anymore. It is a mix of photography and being a businesswoman and a creator or CEO. I hate to use the word CEO, but, you know, a businesswoman in my app and the digital workshop and stuff like that. And yeah, it's pretty exciting, and I'm really optimistic for this year and seeing where we can go from here. So yeah, that is my career in a very long-winded explanation. And I was going to do a Q&A on here, but I think considering I've been speaking for 54 minutes and 10 seconds, I'll wrap it up here and do a Q&A another time. But yeah, I think I've covered everything. So I really hope you have enjoyed this first episode of my podcast. And hopefully soon I will be getting on other photographers and other creatives and talking to them about their, you know, journeys in the industry And also, I really want to focus on, you know, creatives who have built a side hustle and become more than just, you know, a photographer or a makeup artist or a model. And they've also built a business and they've grown, you know, something like that. And they're doing a bit more. So, yeah, I think that's really exciting. And I love chatting about that. So hopefully I will be able to get in a cool creative who is in the industry and has got a little side hustle going on. And we can chat about their journey too. So yeah, would love for you to subscribe and maybe give me a good review wherever you're listening to this on. I don't know how it works yet, but we'll figure it out. And I will see you in the next episode. Ciao.